Thank you very much. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. Appreciate it. Glory, bless the Lord Jesus. We give Him glory. Praise the Lord. Well, it's exciting to be here with you, and thank God for what He's been doing in my life. When I got saved in Australia, I learned about the ministry of Hals Anderson College, and I started listening to your chapel here, and I saw these students, you know, cheering, fired up. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And I listened to the preachers, and I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable preaching. And I said, Lord, would you help me? It would be like wonderful to be able to go to Hals Anderson College and be among those students and cheer and be on fire. That was a dream. That was a dream to sit among you and listen to preaching of God's word. But the Lord not only fulfilled my dream, but also He enabled me to preach to you. It's amazing. It's only God. God can do this. And I give Him all the glory for what He has done in my life. Praise the Lord. So I started listening to Jack Hiles and all fundamental preachers. I'm like, I was blown away. And it helped me tremendously in my faith, to grow in my faith, just listening to those preachers. And thank God for media, just listening on a podcast and media on YouTube. And it helped me a lot to grow in my faith. So praise the Lord. I turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, please, this morning. And thank you very much for your faithfulness to the Lord. I was thinking it would be wonderful if we had this in Iran, this college in Iran, that Iranians would go to college and learn the Bible and to prepare for the ministry. You have to appreciate what you have here. Don't take it for granted. In Iran, there is no church, no college, obviously. So this is wonderful what the Lord has done here. And you have freedom to worship and also freedom to be trained and go out to preach the gospel. It's amazing. The Lord has set you free, because if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. And praise God for the Son of God, for the freedom that He's given us. And I just noticed some of my supporting pastors sitting there. That makes me nervous. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And so turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 8. But I'm going to talk about commitment to God. That's my topic, commitment to God. You need to be committed to the Lord. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to continue in the ministry, in your service to the Lord, and you're going to give up. You need to make decision right now, wherever you are. Be committed to the Lord. And commitment is like buttons, like a button that holds two pieces together. As you can see, this button is holding my two sides of coat together. So that's a commitment. And they have many sayings in secular, like Tony Robbins said, there is no abiding success without commitment. That's true with Christianity. If you're not committed to the Lord, you're not going to succeed as God said to Joshua. You shall succeed. You got to be successful if you commit your way to the Lord. And Stephen Covey said, without involvement, there is no commitment. Obviously, you have to be involved. Mark it down, circle it, and underline it. And Ralph Ellison said, it takes a deep commitment to change, an even deeper commitment to grow. And it's true with Christianity as well. Even secular people, the writers, they understand the power of commitment. Even it's more powerful when you commit yourself to the Lord, to the one who holds your life, to the one who created you. And He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be successful and prosper. And He loves you. He wants to be glorified through your life. And so Hezekiah, we read in verse 1 to 2. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. So we see King Hezekiah, he was young, 25 years old. What would you do if you became a king at the age of 25? Some of you are 25 here, sitting here 25 and like, wow, become a king of a nation. You have lots of power and you have lots of respect and authority and people are respecting you. They bow down, you know, to you and they respect you. And that's going to puff you up and you're going to be exalted. And a lot of kings do that. In the Gentiles world, and they're going to lord over people. That's what people do in the world. But this man, Hezekiah, he was 25 years old, and Bible says he did which was right in the sight of the Lord. Before him, the kings of Israel and Judah, like Ahaz, passed his sons through fire to pagan gods. Ahaz was Hezekiah's father, and he was passing his sons through fire to Babylonian gods, to the gods of nation. He worshiped other gods and idols. Imagine Hezekiah was thinking, am I going to be next? Is my father going to pass me through fire? He's going to kill me, sacrifice me. That was his father, very wicked. Jotham, Azariah, Joash, Amaziah kept high places for pagan sacrifices and incense, Bible says. They kept high places. Ahaziah, Ahab's son-in-law, did evil in the sight of the Lord, we read. And Jehoram married the daughter of Ahab and walked as the kings of Israel, walked wickedly. And Jehoram married the daughter of Ahab and walked as the kings of Israel, it says. And then next one, Jehoshaphat, Asa, Abijah, Rehoboam, they were, compared to other kings, they were better, but they all had problems. They compromised with the world. But as a young man, Hezekiah was different. He realized that his nation has been cursed, enemies were around, and the doors of the house of the Lord were closed. And he made a decision. He said, I'm not going to let this happen to my nation as a king. I'm not going to pass my sons through fire. I'm not going to worship idols. I'm going to restore the worship of Jehovah. That's what he commanded, to open the house of the Lord, the doors of the house of the Lord. And he called Levites and priests to come and cleanse the house of the Lord, to sanctify it, to restore that worship. He made decision. He committed himself to the Lord. His father and other kings, they committed themselves to the Lord and also to other idols and gods. And so I'm going to have 3 points. Number one, commitment must be complete. Verse 3 to 5, we read about King Hezekiah. We learn about commitment in his life. Verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He committed himself totally to the Lord. He was different. Kings before him, they worshiped Lord, yes, but they kept high places. High places was the place that pagan gods and idols were worshipped. They had to burn incense, and that's where they took their sons to pass through the fire and the high places. I went to Turkey last year, and you could see mosques everywhere, and usually they build them in top of like hills and mountains. It was high. You could see this mosque everywhere. They were like standing up. They wanted to reach heaven, like Tower of Babel. They wanted to reach heaven. They want to have access to God. They think that God is in high places. They don't know that God himself came to the lower part of the earth, humbled himself. God is not in high places. God is everywhere. You can worship God everywhere. You can worship God in Iran, in your chamber, in the closet. You can worship God anywhere. So anyway, high places were places that they worshiped. They had buildings, And these kings, they compromised. They could see that these places are the places that rich people go and these religious people go and they worship. So he didn't want to bother them. Those kings didn't want to bother those rich people and religious people. They wanted to have them worship their idols as well as having the worship of Jehovah. They compromised. We have Wall Street and New York, and we have so many high places here, and they worship idols, abortion, homosexuality, and everything. They compromise. We have Christianity here, churches, but the kings here also, they legalize homosexuality and stuff like that, all the filthy stuff that is going here in America and spreading from here to all the nations. It's amazing. The Christianity spreads from here to all nations as well, but also evil is spreading from here as well. We need to have a good testimony, not evil testimony, to spread the sin. King Hezekiah was different. He didn't want to compromise. He committed himself totally to the Lord. So high places, in the New Testament, we have another high places, high things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing," that same thing, high things, "that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we don't have high places to go and worship false gods, even though there's Satanist temple, they have worship in New York. You can go and worship this Baphomet, worship those kinds of false gods and Satan. But we have high things in our minds. As a Christian, you can have high things and imagination. You think about what you can get through Christianity, or reputation and fame that you can earn through Christianity even. You can think about authority that you can have at church or in the world. High things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We need to cast them down, bring them to captivity, to the obedience of Christ. And we have to obey God and cast down those imaginations that we have. As young people, most of you, you may have a lot of imaginations, and you have dreams, and have dreams, but have dreams for God, have visions for God to expand the kingdom of God. But don't have visions about carnal visions, about your success, how you can be rich or how you can be famous. Don't think about that kind. Think about God. But first seek God and His righteousness. You have priority for God. And there was a man who wanted to follow Jesus. He came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, and he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, "Let me first to go and bury my father. Let me first." He didn't say, "Let you first. Just seek the kingdom of God." He said, "Let me first." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead." He wanted to follow Jesus, but not completely. He wanted to control the ministry that he wants to have. He wanted to control himself. He didn't want Jesus to control. And perhaps he had, maybe his father wasn't rich. He wanted to wait for his father to die so he can inherit his father's riches. Perhaps his father would have been angry with him following Jesus. Maybe he didn't want his father to know what he's doing. He wanted his father to die so he can follow Jesus. He didn't commit himself completely to the Lord. And so we have high things. We have idolatry. Bible says covetousness is idolatry, right? And Jesus committed himself to his father completely. He took the cup of wrath from his father. He died on the cross. What if he compromised a little bit? Say, it's too hard. You know, they accusing me and they blaspheme me and I don't deserve to die. This is hard. I'm not gonna die. But if he compromised, we would have gone to hell without him going on the cross. He committed himself fully to the Lord. What if we sing this song like hymns? We say, what if we sing this way, this famous hymn? Half to Jesus I surrender, half to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender half, I surrender half. Half to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender half. Would that exalt Jesus? If you commit your life to Jesus, half, not fully, not completely, that won't honor God. So partial surrender is sin. Make sure you complete your life completely to the Lord. Make commitment, make decision, and commit your way to the Lord, your life to the Lord completely, and follow him. Don't compromise. Like King Hezekiah, young, 25 years old, completely. He broke this, in pieces, the groves and the serpent that Moses made. They called it Nehushtan, means great Satan. They turned it into like an idol. They were worshiping the Satan, Satanist, and he broke in pieces. No compromise at all. He didn't care about this religious people or rich people worshiping in high places. They were like very famous people. No compromise. He destroyed them. He said, destroy them all. So you destroy imagination, carnal mindset that you have. Destroy it. Bring it into captivity. And whatever the Lord called you, whatever ministry, the Lord called you to college, to Hall's Anderson College, complete it fully. Don't give up. Make sure you graduate from this college. Complete this calling that God has called you here. He didn't make a mistake to call you here. You're not here by accident. The Lord led you to come here. So complete it. And number two, commitment must be consistent. Must be consistent. Verse 6. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. He clave to the Lord, and he departed not from following the Lord all his life. He was consistent in his life. And Joshua and children of Israel under Joshua, they had to make decision to choose whether the God of Israel, Jehovah, or God of local gods of Canaanites. They had to make decision. And they have to be consistent to follow the Lord or gods of Canaan. And we have to make decision as well to be consistent to follow the Lord consistently. I think of my friend back in Australia. He's Joe by name, not real name, but I'm using Joe. Joe was on fire and he was going out street preaching and witnessing to people, and I loved him. I said, hey, Joe, can you take me with you, please? I want to learn this. I went with Pastor Piper as well to witness to people, and I went with Joe, and we were going all the time in Sydney witnessing to people, and he inspired me a lot. He was such a godly and praying all the time, such a godly man. He went to Bible college, he graduated, he was serving the Lord faithfully, on fire. He was a great inspiration to me. And we were at the same age, and we both were praying for a wife. He was praying for a girl that would be blonde and beautiful, obviously, and he was praying. And a few years passed by, and God didn't provide wife for him and for me as well, no wife. Years passed by, and still praying, and he, after 5-6 years, he decided to go, because there was no blonde girl in our church, he decided to go to Hillsong Church. That was like 10 minutes away from us, Hillsong Church. Because in Hillsong Church, there are thousands of blonde girls, and they are on this stage, they dance, and they are so beautiful outwardly. So he decided to go there to find a wife. And he went there for a few years, 2-3 years, and they have a big building. They have about 10,000 members, and the place is dark, and they have a smoking machine, and smoke is coming up. It's dark. They painted the wall dark black. That's exactly contrary to the word of God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And I want light to come in and fill this house. I don't want anything to do with darkness. That's the color of Satan, dark. And people, they have wrong music, ungodly music. And anyway, he went there for 2-3 years and he was praying about wife, and guess what? He didn't find any girl there as well for after 2-3 years, and he denied the faith. He became an agnostic, and he's very active agnostic now, spreading agnosticism on social media. He was not consistent. He was on fire for years, loved the Lord, did soul winning, but he was not consistent. I think of Billy Graham. He served the Lord for a long time. He preached the gospel for years, but at the old age, he was not consistent. He compromised. He compromised the gospel message, simple message. So he compromised. So you need to be consistent in your faith as well. Do not compromise. And God is amazing. When you commit your life to the Lord completely and be consistent, number three, commitment will be rewarded. He will reward you. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. You see, because he clave to the Lord, he departed not from following him and his commandments. So the Lord blessed him. God was with him. He rewarded him. He gave him victory over the enemies, Philistines and Assyrians, that they enslaved Israel. He rebelled against Assyrians. Why? Because God was with him. And God rewarded him. And if you fully commit your life to the Lord and be consistent, God will reward you. I think of Frank Jenner in Australia. You have Mr. Eternity, the theme Eternity. That was Australian man. He was just writing Eternity everywhere. But there was another man, a man who was not popular. He was just layman. Nobody knew him. Frank Jenner, a short man on George Street. George Street is in Sydney, in downtown, where you have multitudes of people, all kinds of nationalities coming from India, from Saudi Arabia, from China. You have all kinds of people passing by, and it's a good opportunity to witness to people. And when I was in Sydney, we were going to George Street a lot to witness to people and hand out tracts. So Frank Jenner was a short man, and he got saved out of alcohol and an evil life he had. He got saved. He realized that Jesus delivered him from addiction to alcohol and transformed his life. And he made a commitment. He said, God, would you help me? You changed my life. You are real. This message is powerful. Would you help me to give tracts to 10 people every day? Every day, 10 people. Would you help me? So he committed his life to the Lord to give tracts to 10 people every day. He did it. He was going on George Street and he was giving out tracts. And he had like question, sir, may I ask you a question? If you would die tonight or sometime, do you know 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? This is what he was asking, sir, that question. And he was giving them tracts. He did it a long time. And so one day, a preacher in London, in England, a Baptist preacher, he was preaching in a church, in a Baptist church, and after preaching, they had testimonies, and a man stood up. He said, can I share my testimony? And he said, yes, go ahead. He said, I was working in Sydney. I went to Sydney for a business, and I went to George Street, and as I went to George Street, there was this short man on George Street. He came to me, he said, man, may I ask you a question? If you would die tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven? And he gave me track, and that question was in my mind. It terrified me, so when I went back to England, I asked my pastor, to tell me how I can be saved, and he explained the gospel to me, and I got saved. And so this preacher, London preacher, Baptist preacher, he traveled once to India to preach in a conference, and this Indian man invited him over for dinner, and so he had fellowship with him over dinner. He asked the Indian man, who was ex-Hindu, former Hindu, and he said, how did you get saved from Hindu religion? And he said, I had the privilege to work for government, and I had like higher position in the government, and I was traveling overseas a lot. And one day I traveled to Sydney, and I got out from car, and I went to George Street for last shopping to quickly shop for my family. And as I was walking on the street, this man came to me, and he was a short man, and he said, sir, may I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven? And gave me a track, and he said, no, I'm not sure. But anyway, so he didn't have time to talk to him because he had to shop quickly. He said that made him think. He went back to India, and he went back to Hindu temple. He asked the priest, Hindu priest, he said, can you tell me how I can be sure of going to heaven? And he couldn't explain it to me. He said, I don't know. We're not sure of going to heaven. He said, if you want, there's a missionary, American missionary. You go and talk to him. So he went to talk to this American missionary, and he explained the gospel to him. He got saved. So this preacher, London preacher, he was in another country preaching, and another person shared his testimony. He said, I was in a Marine, and I was traveling. I got off the ship, and I went to George Street on Sydney, and this man came right to me. Man, can I ask you a question? If you would die tonight, are you sure of going to heaven? And so anyway, that made me think. Again, I was able to come to Christ a few years later. And this man, London Baptist preacher, got confused. He's like hearing these testimonies from different people telling about this short man on George Street. And one day, he was able to travel to Sydney, in fact, from England, to preach in a conference. So he was in a church and he preached. He said, any of you know about short man on George Street who gives out tracts? And they said, oh yeah, Frank Jenner, he's an old man. He doesn't do it anymore. He's very old now. He might die soon. So he said, can you take me to him? I want to go and meet him in person. So they took him to his home and knocked on the door, and Frank Jenner opened the door, and he came out. He said, I've been preaching all over the world, everywhere. I've been to India and other places. I'm hearing this testimony from people sharing their testimony, how they came to Christ through your ministry. And he started to cry. He said, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I've never seen anybody come to Christ. For 40 years giving out tracts, nobody came to Christ. Nobody. He was consistent, wasn't he? And he realized that people have come to Christ. In fact, they did an investigation. They found 160,000 people have come to Christ through this short man on George Street giving out gospel tracts. Why? Because he committed to the Lord completely, and he was consistent. And because of that, the Lord rewarded him. He didn't see it in his life for 40 years of doing that. But like a few weeks after that, he passed away. He's in heaven, and he's probably very famous in heaven. Nobody knew him while he was on earth, but he's famous in heaven. Thousands of people. So be consistent in your life. Be committed to the Lord completely. And if you do that, God will reward you, I promise you. And I don't have time to share my own testimony that the Lord has rewarded me mightily, because I did the same thing. I made decision to commit my life to Jesus completely, and he has rewarded me. He has blessed me, and I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for King Hezekiah and his commitment to you, Lord, how you blessed him and how he committed to you completely, and Lord, you rewarded him for his consistency. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of these students as they come to the altar to commit to you completely and consistently. I pray, Lord, that you would help them and empower them to be consistent, to nail this down. In this hour, they make this decision to commit to you, Lord. We thank you. We pray that you would bless them, Lord. And as the pianists play, you come now.